16-9 Kansas City. First down and goal to go at the Giant 1 yard line. Handoff. Kareem Hunt slams into the defender but keeps his string. Legs driving, driving, driving. Touchdown, Kansas City.
That is the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, with the score of Kareem Hunt making it 22-9 in that ball game last night. Chiefs victorious over the Giants, 1-2 on the season, and welcome Baltimore into town Sunday at 3:25. I'm sure you guys are going to be excited for that one. You guys enjoying your tailgating experience. That's going to be a big one on the docket on Sunday. That's going to be probably the game that a lot of people will be talking about, depending on what goes on tonight. Baltimore could be 1-2 as well, coming into Kansas City, who also would be 1-2. And then you look up above you, and you're chasing the Chargers, and you're chasing the Bills, and it's wash, rinse, repeat, moving on week after week as you try to get better and better and fix these offensive miscues. Hopefully your kicker can get more accurate. Hopefully your right tackle can change. And we can see this offense kind of make an uptick in performance, because that's what we want to see.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously as the season goes along and guys get healthy and back onto the field, I think we'll see a better offense than what we're witnessing right now. And, you know, with this team, as you get ready for this Baltimore game coming up on Sunday, it is a big one. I mean, it's an opportunity now for you to get back to 2-2 and to finish that first quarter of the season at .500. And if I were to tell you a week ago that the Chiefs had an opportunity to be 2-2 after those first two games, I think you'd sign up for that right about now. And that's not a bad spot to be. 2-2 is .500. That's kind of, you know, where this league strives to be. And then you have an opportunity to get to that seventh game, hopefully in a decent enough spot where when you do bring Rashee Rice back, all right, let's go. Everything's still in front of us. And so that's what you want to do. You just want to kind of tread water until you get the opportunity to get to that point in time where you get Rashee Rice back, where you get your guys all back to full strength, and you have the opportunity to go out there and play what they thought was going to be the team when they assembled this thing back in March and got these guys ready to go for the start of the season. So no, it's a big one coming up against Baltimore, and you get Baltimore clearly on a short week, which is an advantage to you. They have to come out here on a short week, and Andy Reid, you know, has already got a day ahead of preparing for the Baltimore Ravens, where they're focused on playing a game tonight against the Lions. I like this opportunity for the Chiefs right now.
Josh Klinger coming up at 8:30 here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Before we do all of that, of course, Friday we do our scripted game plan and get to be proven how we are so off the next day on Monday when we're on the air. So, Matt, go ahead and take it away.
Let's get it started. Chiefs come out hot. Okay, they're going to score a touchdown on the first drive. Yeah, they can do that. I think they're going to hit a deep shot to Thornton. This is versus his former team. I think they're going to hit a shot to Thornton right out the gate. The defense is going to look good again this week. They'll get a little bit of pressure. Neighbors will have a good day, though. I mean, this secondary, they can do what they want, but Neighbors is just going to be able to do what he wants. Chris Jones begins to look to form, and Mahomes continues to look like the superhuman that we know that he is, that he's been this season besides, otherwise, you know, ignore what Spectre says, right?
Who?
Steven Schwartz.
The rushing game.
Mitchell Spector.
The rushing game still isn't going to be productive or that high quality, but they'll get some momentum. Kareem Hunt will score within the goal line, as does Xavier Worthy. He gets on pay dirt. Give me Chiefs in a defiant win to control this game from quarter one to quarter four, 27-13. Bob, you can go to bed early.
All right, here's mine. The Chiefs have had enough. It's a bad week to be a Giant. The Chiefs are going to take out their frustrations in Jersey. The homecoming is just what Isaiah Pacheco needs after a week of being public enemy number one. And he has worn the brunt of this week, right? I mean, I think it's fair to say Isaiah Pacheco has been that guy that we're all going after. He runs like the Pacheco of old and will score two touchdowns on the ground. Worthy gets going, but it's via the run game more than the passing game. He crushes the Giants on ends arounds and jet sweeps. The defense makes Russ look like the guy we saw in Denver, and the Chiefs go on to win this one 35-0.
Chiefs win. They have to. But I think we see them run and run early. That's right. I said it. I can't say it more than enough. Run and run early. They get the screen game going, too, and I think it's Smith, the guy that we all want to see, the draft pick out of the seventh round out of SMU. Get him involved and let him show his skill set. I think Kelce finally reads what is in the room,
I think he becomes that leader. I think he has 5 for 55. That may not move you on the stat line, but that is what we need from Travis Kelce.
That's good.
Clutch 55 yards, mm-hmm. a good third down or two, a touchdown maybe. I don't know. Bob would love that, obviously.
Yeah, I love a Kelce touchdown.
And I think with that sort of mentality, then you can get that deep ball going. I think they do throw the deep ball early. I don't know if it's on the first drive, but I think it is in the first quarter. And look, if Dak can put up 361 against this Giants defense, so can Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes in this game, 24 for 31, 302 yards, two touchdowns. I think that's a likable stat. I think I can believe myself saying that. I also think we see the same usage of Xavier Worthy that we saw Miami do with Jaylen Waddle. I think the Chiefs win this game 28 to 14.
Well, we all swung and missed on the Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I sent Mac a Snapchat after I got the information on Saturday morning. I was like, we should have known this. Like, it was smoke and mirrors. I thought it was a little early for him to come back, but I was in my heart of heart and red Chiefs glasses on thinking like, well, maybe if they're letting him go out there and practice, I mean, who knows? And then it was Saturday morning. Yeah, he's not traveled with the team either. He stayed in Kansas City. Okay. Duly noted.
Well, it was one of those. We think we can beat the Giants without having to use Xavier Worthy, right? Like, that was the clear moment for them. We think we can win this game without Xavier Worthy. We better win this game without Xavier Worthy because we need Xavier Worthy for next week against Baltimore. We need him for the following week against Detroit. So let's give him one more week. Don't have to travel. Don't have to fly. You know, the pressure of flying and all that stuff with an injury is never any good. And you get the opportunity to rest one more week. And now, when the Baltimore Ravens roll into the town, now we can unleash Xavier Worthy. And so, obviously, they didn't play him, and we swung and missed big time on that script.
Smith did get a screen pass, right? But it didn't do anything, or was it somebody else that got the screen catch?
He maybe had a little swing pass or something, yeah.
Yeah, but
he was more involved. It was good to see him at least on the field a little bit.
Yeah. I still can't get over that Pacheco ran towards the opponent's end zone. For a screen pass,
yeah,
or an out pass. And then we always do the, somebody says, at least we were right on the script. Xavier Worthy did not have a negative play.
That's true.
And then our Chiefs parlay that we do every week. I did trail this one this week. It was Travis Kelce anytime.
Nope.
Kareem Hunt over 26 and a half yards rushing.
Yes.
Ding. And then I had Mahomes over 240 and a half, did not hit. He had 223. Is that what he had? 224. Yeah, so... missed that one by about 25 yards.
Well, you know how many yards he had in sack losses too? 23. But obviously that doesn't count. But you know, if he doesn't get sacked those two times and completes those passes,
yeah, exactly.
It's probably the over.
Probably
at that
got
point.
It. Yeah.
Hate to see it.
Yeah, we're over 3 on the season now.
That's great. So everybody should be betting against us. Like if you're betting
exactly.
against us, you're winning. You're cleaning
winning
up.
Money.
You're thanking us.
What's going to be your parlay this week?
Parlay this week, Travis Kelce anytime touchdown, Chris Jones sack, and let me give a Trent McDuffie interception.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Harrison Butker, 3 for 3.
I'm not going to. No, I'm come on.
You're
now.
Smart
I'm
not, with
you.
Yeah,
I'm smart like that. You know, I'll continue to bet on Travis Kelce getting an anytime touchdown, but I'm done betting on Harrison Butker making any kind of field goals at this point in time.
Yeah, Tube's got to get in that ass.
He really does, man. Like, what do you think Tube's going to do about it this week?
Go back to your old ways, man. Like, because didn't he say in the offseason he was going to try to plant differently because that's what got his knee injured in the last season or something?
He was going to stop planting like he was the last couple of years because he was hurt. He was healthy. So I thought, okay, great, that we're done planting, back to normal. But yeah, obviously.
So there's the root of our problem.
He's changed
his golf swing, and now he's slicing it.
But changed the grip on your fastball, right? Like, I mean, guys change things all the time for no reason.
Screw your curveball, Ricky. Throw him the eater.
Yeah, go back to what works. And I understand about the injury thing and all that kind of stuff and whatnot. But whatever Harrison Butker is doing right now is just not effective. And really, I mean, he should have missed 5 kicks already this season. The goalpost saved him. And it went, like, did you guys let out a sigh of relief when that one hit the goalpost and went in?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That was like a game winning field goal at that point in time. We made it 3-0, I think. But we all kind of had a sigh of relief at that point in time. Like, it went in. I'm like, damn. And when he hit the goalpost, I'm like, what is going on here? And then he misses an extra point and another field goal. And you're like, man, something is just not. Does he know it has to be between that big yellow H?
Maybe he's still thinking about the field goal posts in Brazil.
Oh, yeah, those ones on that practice field. Yeah, how awful they were, yeah. He's got to figure it out. And, you know, we'll talk to Josh about it as well. He was down there on the sidelines. Maybe he's got something on Harrison Butker about that. But I mean, I'm bringing in guys. I'm bringing in candidates. I'm auditioning guys off this week and seeing what they can do. And it doesn't mean I'm replacing Harrison Butker at this point in time, but I'm definitely bringing guys in and putting pressure on this guy. Make it uncomfortable for him.
No doubt. We'll get to Josh Klingler in about 20 minutes, and we'll get back into what this game was last night. A victorious win. Again, it's a victorious game. They got the win, but there are other things to dive into here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Well, Josh Kohler, sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, coming up in just a little bit. Chiefs win 22-9 in New York. Snapped the losing streak, by the way. Didn't bring that up yet. 1-8 or 1-7 now in New York. So that's dead.
That's crazy.
It's wild. Yeah. Seven times they went there and seven times they lost. This one they ran into it.
You know, the Eagles are 19-1 in their last 20.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Good for them. Did you know they were going to be more aggressive on the tush push and then they weren't? Yeah. Max said him and his friend almost started, or was it you and your brother?
No, you, my friend,
you and your
yeah.
friend almost like ran out screaming. They can't keep getting away with this. Like, yes, they can, apparently.
Sure they can, yeah. I mean, this is going to be like everybody thinks the referees were in the Chiefs' pocket over the last couple of years, right? And obviously they weren't. But this one here is just ridiculous. And I was reading something on Pro Football Talk this morning, and Mike Florio said that he talked to an official and said, hey, this is what they voted for, so screw them. You know, the referees are like, we're not bailing you out. You voted to keep this play in place. We're not going to bail you out. And the only way the referees can truly officiate the tush push play, which again, there were guys moving early this week again, and it's going to become a theme, if you will, for the entire season in the NFL. The only way that it's going to be policed by the referees is to kind of have that rogue official who wants to go out there and enforce this and will start calling it on every single play. But it sure seems like the referees have gotten together and went, you guys made your bed. This is too difficult for us to officiate. We're not going to throw a flag. What if we're wrong? And then they show the replay of us being wrong, and then I get a demerit or however they grade, because the NFL fires referees after every season, right?
Mm-hmm.
They demote them, they fire them, they move them to, you know, whatever else and whatnot. Not like Major League Baseball, where you can be Angel Hernandez and stay employed for a generation. In football, you make mistakes, you're gone. And so I'm sure the referees are probably thinking, well, I'm not going to call a flag like that. If I make that mistake, that goes against me. That goes on my ledger. That goes on my final grade book, you know? And so I understand why the referees aren't going to call that now and say, we're not here to cover up for the rule that you made. If you want this rule fixed, don't look at us to be the police on this one and enforce the rule. You guys should have changed the rule. So until you guys fix it, we're not doing anything about it.
Mac, we went to break a little bit ago. You had something you were cooking up in your mind that you wanted to bring up to the show?
Well, I'm just thinking about kind of our standards and the way we think about this team and what's okay, what's not okay, where we draw the line. And I was thinking, Bob, you and others are kind of like, all right, let's bring in some competition for Harrison Butker. This is it. I've had enough, right? Five missed kicks in three games. It's been a huge issue.
Well, technically four, but it would have been with
fifth. You're right. Four and a doink that he got lucky on a bounce. Yeah. Right. So you're right. My bad. Four missed kicks in three games.
It ain't how you stylish points, score.
Exactly. We blame Butker. We're like, all right, three bad games. This guy, 3 months ago, we're talking best kicker of all time, Chiefs Ring of Honor, Mount Rushmore when talking about this dynasty and who's important to it as far as players on the field. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks in, let's bring in some competition. We've had enough. We're now on 3 years of watching this offense seriously struggle, and we don't really hear a peep from this show, at least about Matt Nagy or Andy Reid. I just don't know where's the line. Why is that? I don't understand.
Well, let's take the head coach and coordinators, and we'll look at all three or four if you want to throw the special teams. They're a victim of circumstance. Like, they have to have other people step up and do their job, right? And so There's a lot of debate on whether or not Andy Reid called the – I have no idea what play Andy Reid called ever. Not one time except Wasp, and we know about that because they had it mic'd up, right? We don't know the plays that are being called. We don't know who executes. We don't know who doesn't execute for the most part, right? There may be a great play, and you go, oh, boy, that guy totally screwed up, but he's wide open. He catches a touchdown, but he ran the wrong route, right? Like, there are so many minute things that we don't understand. A kicker we can all see. It's very obvious, and there's really nothing else that you can blame when you're talking about the kicker other than the kicker. Now, if it's a bad snap, that's one thing. There haven't been bad snaps. James Winchester has been as good as there is in the history of the NFL. All accounts, all the holds seemingly are pretty good, right? So I think when it's a player like a kicker especially, right, we can all see that. We all know that that guy missed. We all know that that guy hit the upright. We all know because it's visual evidence. We don't really know what Andy Reid is calling or even Steve Spagnuolo is calling at that point in time on the defense. If the players go out there and make the plays, well, I guess they executed a great play by Andy Reid. If they go out there and the pass is incomplete, why did he call that? You know, like there's just so much gray area. With a kicker missing kicks, it is black and white.
No doubt. It's hard to be, you know, affirmative about everything with the offense we're talking about. There's so many moving pieces, right? But there's one common denominator over a couple years, right? Things keep happening. At some point, someone's got to answer for why is this happening? And you can't keep saying, oh, injuries. Oh, like at some point, you've got to answer the call. You got to do your job too. Like we watch football all day, guys. I mean, the Bucs lose Mike Evans, their number one wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. They drive the ball down the field and they win that game. They do it. They figure it out, right? Like, right.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the offense starts and ends with Andy Reid. It really does. He's the guy. I mean, you know, you have an offensive coordinator in name. He's not calling the plays. I keep saying I've called more plays than Matt Nagy has called right now. Right. And so the offense is it the offensive line? I mean, you know, as much as we love those guys in the middle, there were a couple times yesterday where they were, you know, lost. Obviously, maybe for switching out Juwan Taylor changes everything. And Andy's not recognizing that. Maybe he's loyal to him. I don't know. I'm just kind of talking through
things. Yeah, I get it. Me too.
You know, that could potentially, you know, get this offense moving in the right direction. But I will say there's probably organizational blame more than anything. And I'm part of that as well because I'm not a running back truther. It seems like the league has now shifted back to where we were. I don't want to say the 80s, but defense and running game are major in this league right now. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs, I think, missed as an organization, maybe on the running back era starting before. Like, I think they're behind the curve on that right now. It's been a year and a quarter now of this kind of running back era that we're in right now. Came on fast last year. For the most part, we've been used to the Chiefs being the tone setters in this league, right? The trend setters in this league. Whatever the Chiefs do, everybody copies and boom, there we go. Well, other teams kind of went off in a different direction. They said, well, let's start loading up on some running backs because wide receivers are getting too pricey right now, right? And so they went on to the next. The Chiefs were early on the wide receivers, not paying those guys, but they didn't backfill with the running back. They probably should have backfilled with running backs a couple of years ago if they wanted to be the trendsetters. Right now, they're behind the trend with the running back position. And that's everybody from Veach to Andy to everybody involved who's determining how this roster is going to look. I think they overlooked that running back position now, seeing what it's been doing in the NFL and really seeing what else you have on your team for that matter.
I think we also overlooked the fact that we just don't say Matt Nagy doesn't do anything. I think that there is still some sort of message. There's still some sort of game prep. And the analogy that I can give you is that when you go to a restaurant, you know your server does not cook the food, correct? Like he doesn't cook the food, but a server can ruin your experience. The chef cooks the food. The server puts the food into the system.
Yep.
But the server can mess up the order. The server can say, oh, I forgot you didn't want blue cheese in your salad. Your salad comes out, there's blue cheese in your salad. Now you have to wait, refix that, bring it back out.
Do they just dump the blue cheese off at that point in time?
No, they give the salad to the servers. But they just, again, like Matt Nagy has a role in this offense. Like he has to get these guys prepared for this game. Andy Reid might call the plays, but somebody has to spread the message throughout the week and the game plan and the prep. just like when you go to a restaurant, the chef's going to make the food. We know that. The chef's going to cook it. He's going to have it plated. He's going to send it out. The server can either mess up your order and ruin your experience. The server can be off. He can be rude. He knows what the game plan is going in. I ring the food in. I grab the food. I check on the table. I get them their needs. Yes, Andy Reid is calling the plays, but Matt Nagy is your offensive coordinator. Matt Nagy does have some sort of representation with this offense. And again, like whether that is to call guys out in press conferences or whether it is to go into Andy's office with a fistful of rage, be like, Andy, I can't have 74 on this offensive line. Mm-hmm. Andy, I've got to try to get Rashard Smith involved in this offense. I know he's a rookie. I know he's got the skill set, but we need to have somebody with electric sort of playmaker ability back there because it ain't 10 and ain't 29. We know what 29's role is. Inside the 5-yard line or a tough yard to get, that's Kareem Hunt's role. Isaiah Pacheco ain't filling that role. I've got to do more with what I have that's not available to me right now. And I think that's where we can see this sort of thing maybe change up a little bit because Mac is right to a point. This offense has been absolutely atrocious. Yes, there are injuries. I totally get that, right? You're going to run out of food sometimes in a restaurant, but how do you make up for that? Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm sorry right now. We don't have the wedge salad, but you know what we can do for you? We do have a really excellent broccoli cheddar soup that I'd love to get you instead. Hey, we don't have a right tackle on Juwan Taylor. Hey, you know what? We got this Jalen Moore kid we signed who was backing up Trent Williams. I guarantee you put him in there, you're going to see some morale change because somebody brings into the conspiracy theory that you have. Maybe Travis Kelce is losing his damn mind because the drives are getting stalled out and this team is so used to playing with perfection that this guy at right tackle at 74, because I'm going to be harsh all day on him. That guy cannot play for your team right now. You are 1-2. You have a dangerous team coming in next week where you have to be flawless. You got to go full Mortal Kombat on this win on Sunday. You have to have a flawless victory on all sides of the field. Defense, special teams, offense. And I think the number one move you start with more than getting the running game involved is getting 74 out of your rotation.
Well, and I think that does help. But again, like Andy Reid is the final say in all of this. And you can have all these great ideas and present them. Like you go to Spectre with all these great ideas and like he does, he never does any of them. Right. But that's ultimately where it ends. Like Andy has to be willing to enact these changes. He's the final say on everything. Like we can sit here and say, Chris Jones, let's just use him as an example on defense. We don't want Chris Jones to be playing. Well, until Andy Reid is to that point, then Chris Jones is going to be playing, or Harrison Butker being your kicker. Until Andy Reid is there, until he's there with Juwan Taylor, Juwan Taylor's going to be that guy. Now we all think he should move on from Juwan Taylor. I think he should move on. And I'm the last one saying that. So you know it's reached its
end. Your wife's best friend thinks they should move on. And that's not a shot. I'm just saying, like, you have people that go watch football games and go, hey, as long as they win, I don't really care. And they're texting you going, who the hell is 74 and why is he playing?
Yeah. It's true. I mean, it's to that point. Now, how do we get Andy Reid to recognize that? Because until Andy recognizes that, here we sit. It's ultimately his decision. Everything that happens in that organization goes across that desk and it gets looked at by Andy Reid. He controls everything in that organization. And so until he and when they're dominating and putting up 35 points a game, we love it and we're good with it. And at 22 points a game and being 1-2 through 3 weeks, I still love it. I wouldn't trust it to anybody else. But there are certain things where he's not perfect and we're all not perfect. We all do things that we wish we probably could have done better. I think at this point in time, it is, though, time to make that first change and to make that positional switch at right tackle. The only problem is if Jalen Moore goes in there and doesn't get the job done like you want him to get the job done, now you've got an even bigger problem because you've bailed on your guy and you've replaced him with somebody and that guy's not living up to the expectation that you want, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jalen Moore as well if he were to go in there and be that starter. But I do. I think that's the first move that you can look to make is fixing that offensive line, and by doing so, number 74 being moved out and whatever number Jalen Moore is kind of being moved into that position.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's like gave it the restaurant, you know, analogy. You know, the chef's going to cook his food. But again, if multiple servers or the same server keeps coming to the chef because, hey, man, they don't really like the marinade on the pork. Mm-hmm. Maybe change that up a little bit.
Then the chef yells at you, get out of my kitchen.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you were the executive chef. Yeah. I'm not. I'm just giving you feedback of what everybody else is saying.
Right.
And once that feedback continues to go up, guess what? They stop putting that marinade on the pork.
Yeah.
They start maybe listening to their customers because that does happen. And we'll listen to Josh Klingler as he joins the show.
He's traded sleep for tennis elbow and Bob for high school kids.
That's John Klinger.
But he's still the best in the business down there on the sidelines.
Let's go to the sideline. There's Josh Klinger.
It's Watson. Yeah, twice tonight. Justin Watson gets the big play. Jalen Watson gets the big play.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network sideline reporter Josh Klingler with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Watson, yes!
From the sideline to the phone line, Josh Klingler joins us, the sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network and expert tennis coach. Kling, I want to bring this up because it is the elephant in the room. What did you notice or what did you take away from the sideline interaction and the emotions from Andy Reid and Travis Kelce?
Well, you know, Travis Kelce, this is, you know, pretty much like 3 weeks in a row that there's been some kind of outburst. And whether or not you consider that a positive or negative kind of outburst, you know, I suppose you could leave that up. But there's been three kind of out of character, at least over the last few years, emotional outbursts. And obviously the interaction with Andy Reid caught the most attention, but you know, he and Matt Nagy were really jawing at a high volume as well. He was really hot when he came to the sidelines, and you know, I don't know what the read of it is right now. I just feel like that it might be a guy who knows his days are numbered and wants everything to be perfect. So, and it can't be right.
Right.
But I don't know. Looks like to me that Travis just wants everything to go absolutely 100% well. And when it doesn't, he's getting kind of frustrated at this moment in time. Also, you know, I think he's probably gotten to an age as well and a comfortable position as well. He's got a different relationship than a lot of people do with Andy Reid. I do worry a little bit that, you know, I don't like that stuff filtering down necessarily. He's got a relationship that's different than number 53 on the roster does with Andy Reid. But I don't know how many of those you can have and it not, you know, look like a negative to especially the younger players. You're trying to build a cohesive group, and when one person strays, you know, that can be a problem. So they have said they don't think it's a problem, but you know, we'll see if it does, you know, lead to something different. Andy is really good at deflecting everything that could be a potential distraction. But, you know, this has been multiple games in a row now that Travis has been frustrated.
Yeah, see, I saw him react like that last night, Josh, and I was having the same reaction myself because it was right after the second Juwan Taylor penalty that cost us potentially points. So I just assumed sure. He was yelling at Andy to get his sorry ass out of the game.
It could be. It very well could be. I don't, you know, they didn't elaborate as to what kind of led up to that. But yeah, there was offensive frustration at that point in time. There was offensive frustration that entire first half again, because it was another slow start, another weird slow start. And, you know, I got nearer the locker room at halftime than I sometimes do just to see if I could gather anything yesterday. And when they came out of the halftime locker room, all they were yelling was energy, energy, energy. So I'm guessing that was, you know, once again, kind of a theme, like don't play with less gas, because it's been a problem to start games. You shouldn't let that team hang around. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's a cardinal sin to let a bad team kind of hang around. And the Chiefs did that for far too long last night.
Yeah. How much trust are you starting to see in Mahomes and Tyquan Thornton?
Well, it's funny. I kind of noticed that dating back to OTAs. I tweeted something at OTAs about how I thought Tyquan would be the training camp favorite. And I thought at that point in time, I'm like, you know, he's going to be like a little further down on the depth chart. But there were just a few plays that I saw here and there where it's like, man, it looks like he's got Mahomes' trust. And Mahomes is willing to kind of try some things with him, especially down the field and use those skills and down near the red zone. And I thought, okay, I'm going to keep an eye on it. But then it was, you know, can he make the team kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now you see more and more, like the trust factor is there with the quarterback, and that goes a long way. You get Mahomes' trust and you are reliable, he's going to keep going to you. And obviously he's got an opportunity now with a couple guys out to earn more and more trust. But you're like, okay, that's a nice piece that when you get Rice and when you get Worthy back, can you still get another piece in the mix in Tyquan Thornton to do some things that are a little bit different? I think the answer is yes, and I think the quarterback does trust him.
What about, though, with the offensive tackle and Juwan Taylor? We kind of joked about it. Are you ready, Josh, from where you sit and watch the game, to make a change and to put Jalen Moore out there? Is it time to do that? Or, again, is it us overreacting?
Well, I don't know where their decision lies. I mean, if it's you or I, it's something different, because I'm tired of just like glancing that side of the line before every snap. I'm like, stop it. Like, I just watch to see if he moves early,
right,
you know, all the time. And so I don't know if that's going to be an us versus them thing. It probably is. I mean, I think that for now, for this year, I think he's the right tackle. But yeah, it just becomes a, are you just tired of seeing the same thing over, and just try something different and see if it can be better? You know, I hate to be that, right? You know, try it just to see, but it's kind of gotten to that point where I know my eyes gravitate towards the right side of the line all the time. And it does kind of get on my nerves. Like, okay, I just wanted to go away. I just wanted to play well and go away and not worry about it. But, you know, I would say it's probably not going to be anything different along that line. I think it's still going to be the same parts. And then, you know, Simmons being out kind of late in the game.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting as well, because I think two games ago they said that he was kind of a little bit dehydrated. He was chatting with the trainers a little bit earlier in the game, and I didn't see him necessarily take any extra fluids, but I'm not wondering. And he was on the injury report as ill, you know, last week. So I wonder if it was just more precautionary. They said there was nobody extra injured, you know, after the game. But that one to me kind of struck me as, well, maybe he wasn't feeling all that great kind of late in the game, and you could put an extra offensive lineman in there and be okay. So I suppose it depends a little bit, too, on the status of Simmons, if there's anything more to that than just a couple snaps at the end of the game.
Kling, your friend for life, Bob Fesco, is very, very worried about one Harrison Butker. What say you?
Yeah, that's another one where it's like, here's what I would do versus what I think what they would do, right? But I'm guessing it's going to be a get back out there and practice. Don't over adjust, which kind of looks like a little bit right now. Like, is he doing something adjustment wise as a kicker? And you know, it's the golf swing. He's out on the driving range and he's messing around, and now he's got off kilter. And I think they're going to be very, very patient with him. Certainly, you know, he's kind of earned that. But yeah, you can't leave points out, especially this team right now. You can't just leave points hanging. And you know, last night's unfortunate when he's backed up for a super long extra point. That's the one that doesn't go in too. But mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been so doggone reliable that when he's, you know, when he's not Mr. Automatic, you get a little bit concerned. But you remember he did go through a couple of spells, and they kind of, you know, let him work his way through it. And in the end, he ended up being that clutch guy you could count on. So got to imagine it's going to be the same type of thing that they'll, you know, work out some issues. He and Dave Tobe and everybody else will try to figure out exactly what's going on and get him back on track. But yeah, you'd like it to be a little more automatic where you didn't have to kind of sweat those out.
Do you think Worthy's back this week against the Ravens?
You know, it kind of feels like it. I thought it was kind of strange that he didn't travel necessarily this week, but I suppose they just wanted, you know, if they knew for sure he wasn't going to play, that they were going to take that extra spot and be able to use it. But it seems like you're kind of pointing towards that game, right? You're going to need probably all hands on deck. Could you get through one more week? Not to say that they were doing that, but could you get through a week with the Giants without him, but have him healthier and back for having everybody available as possible for the Ravens? I would err on the side probably of that. So we'll see how the week goes. But he's been out there practice, you know, the last couple of weeks. Probably hard to really practice getting hit.
Yeah.
and how it's going to feel when you get hit. So one of these times that they feel he's healthy enough, he's going to have to go out there and test it. So yeah, wouldn't be surprised if he's back this week.
All right. Well, when you see it at practice, wear white socks and don't lean, Kling.
As always, stay out of trouble.
That's
keep
right.
Your head low.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next Monday.
And on a swivel.
We'll talk to you next Monday, and you get that nice 325 start, not a 725 in New York. Clean, we appreciate it as always.
When'd you get back?
Thanks, 5 a.m.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Get back to bed.
Yeah.
Take care, Kling.
I'm going back to sleep.
Adios.
Night.
Good night.
5 a.m. He does not envy us. Coming up on the other side, who is the best team in the NFL? We'll discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
In on a victory Monday, whether you believe it feels like it or it doesn't, it's still a win.
Win is a win, baby.
Something they haven't had all year long.
How about the Packers? They lost yesterday, right? They're probably saying, tough. Damn, I wish we had a win today. Yeah, what a bad game for them.
I still can't believe that 2:30 to 3:15 window. I mean, that is just, I felt like, you know, that meme of Ben Affleck when he's outside with a cigarette in his hand.
Oh, yes,
that's
dude.
How I felt.
Such
I was
a good
like,
meme.
Oh, I got to wait. I got 4 hours for this Chiefs game, and I just went through that. Holy smokes. What a day yesterday.
Browns
was.
Were down 10-0 with 4 minutes to go.
That's right.
Yeah. What?
Yeah,
but Philadelphia. The fact that they only put up 10 points to Green Bay. Browns have a good defense.
They do.
But,
they
I mean,
do.
Philadelphia was down 26-7. They won 33-20.
Yep. With 4 minutes to go in the third, they were down 26-7. It wasn't like they were down 26-7 in the first half and mounted a nice long comeback. Oh, no.
I mean,
that was fast yesterday for them.
Crazy.
We also didn't talk about that Rodgers guy for the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah.
Forceful. That was incredible.
That guy had
two touchdowns
day.
In maybe, the first quarter or
yeah.
something like that.
They're saying it's the best defensive day maybe of all time.
It was amazing.
PFF I mean, he gave him a 99.9.
You had two touchdowns on defense in that game yesterday. One and like a 90 some yard return, you know, for an interception, and the other he strips the guy, picks the ball up and just runs the other way. Like, that guy dominated. Yes, he probably pound for pound had the best game individually that we've seen in the NFL in a very long
yeah,
time.
It was
you
amazing.
Know? I know people will put offensive numbers up there. That's what you're supposed to do on offense. Nobody's supposed to score two defensive touchdowns in a game, right?
And force three turnovers.
Right. Nobody's supposed to do anything like that that we saw yesterday. Also, a lot of block kicks yesterday,
bunch.
Too.
Block. I mean, it was
a lot of block kicks in this league.
Like I said, it was, I think at one point, Green Bay goes for the win, blocked. Cleveland gets the ball, game-winning field goal. Philadelphia has a one-point lead. Rams go to kick the field goal to win the game. Block, scoop, score. They cover the spread in that play as well. Then there was another one that was blocked as well. Just absolutely insane action yesterday. Also an insane stat today. Oceanfront Property by George Strait. Know that song?
Yep.
Came out 38 years ago today.
He is nothing more than a glorified ice house crooner is what George Strait is, right?
Crooner.
He stole my
Traveling
song.
Crooner, baby.
He stole my, you know, if it wasn't for breakfast and tried to create his
he
own
did,
song
yeah.
on it. Do we yep. do we have that? Did he? You know, because
no.
he's
no.
a thief when it comes to, please play it.
No.
Okay.
We don't need it.
A play coming
in. No, we need it. I'm not going to say another word until we play it.
All right. Keep it off from playing. we really are going to play a song? Oh my. Well, I guess
French toast had never crossed my mind.
Sorry.
There'd be no
it.
Strips of bacon on the side. No eggs of any kind. If it wasn't for breakfast, if it wasn't for breakfast.
George stole that.
Stole it and created If It Wasn't for Texas. I mean, what a thief stealing my song.
Should change it to what If It Wasn't for Taylor.
Today is also the anniversary of I'm a Man, I'm 40.
Yeah, he's about to get ran out.
Boy, they lost again to Tulsa now.
Yeah, tough Tuesdays tomorrow.
Who are you rooting more against, him or Dabo?
It is both.
Ooh.
And then I looked at Dabo Swinney's buyouts, and it's like, does Clemson really want to pay this man $50 to $60 million to kick rocks? I would.
I think at this point in time, he's become like the worst thing. The arrogant jerk who wins all the time, and you can't do anything about it, but nobody likes him, right? Like, and everybody behind their back, this guy's a jerk, this guy's a douche, I hate this guy, but man, he's winning. Now he's losing.
Yep.
You know what neither of those guys have? A safety net. Because of how they treated people along the way.
What's also his quotes? He says, I don't need NIL to win. We get our own players. And they lost to a team that had a bunch of NIL players go to their squad and beat Clemson.
And beat them. Like, crush them this week. Like, Syracuse. You lost to Syracuse, man. And then
yeah, with Gundy, he's like, we don't need NIL. Or like, oh, no, we need NIL. I need more NIL. And then a team that has no NIL beats their ass.
You lose to Tulsa.
Thank you. Tulsa,
you know,
yes.
You lost to Tulsa over the weekend. And mm-hmm. so guys like that who are jerks on the way up, man, they're everybody gets there. You're going to need people to catch you on the way down. And when you're nasty to everybody on the way up, like Dabo Swinney has been, and I kind of feel like Gundy's kind of been that way, screaming about a newspaper reporter back, you know, in 2007 or whatever it was. There's going to be nobody there to support you, man, and give you that benefit of the doubt when you're falling on your way down. That's why it's important to be good to people on your way up, because you're going to need people on your way down. And everybody's looking at Dabo Swinney right now and running the other way and letting that guy fall.
Question. Who's the best team in the NFL after 3 weeks?
I don't know the answer to that question right now. I think I would lean towards Philadelphia.
I think so.
But, you know, they're very reminiscent of what the Chiefs did last year, right? They found ways to win games bizarre. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they've won three bizarre games. I mean, you had the lightning delay in one. Who knows what would have happened had you not had the hour and a half lightning delay in the opener. Mm-hmm. You win a Chiefs game because you capitalized on something that the Chiefs normally had capitalized on, and that's a turnover like Travis had. And then yesterday, a block return for a touchdown. Like, I'm watching the Philadelphia Eagles embody the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs right now, right? They're finding ways to win, and that is great. That's all you have to do in the NFL regular season. But if you're asking me, I have to decide right now, or my life's on the line, who the best team in the NFL is, I say Philadelphia like that, but I don't know that I really believe that it's Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, there's no dominant force.
No, there really isn't. I thought Green Bay was, and then, boy, a lot of that's on coaching yesterday, man. You can't have a look-ahead game. You just can't. That's on coaching. Like, I don't know if you saw what's coming out of Pittsburgh this morning, but Mike Tomlin hid all the Ireland stuff from the team. You know, we're not talking about it. We're not giving the schedule. We're not telling you anything until after this game against the New England Patriots, because that could have very well been a trap game yesterday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they almost lost that game. It was a very close game yesterday, right? They could have lost that game. So he didn't want to distract them with any of that stuff. How much conversation, ask yourself this, because again, we're all human. How much conversation, if you're a member of the Green Bay Packers, did you have last week about the Browns? Or how much was it, hey, we're getting ready to take on Dallas and Mike is going home soon? We just got to get through this week. Let's get ready for Dallas. We just got to get through this week. And you didn't take them seriously. You overlooked them. You didn't play. Whatever it was, you got beat by Cleveland. To me, when a team loses a game like that, that goes back to coaching. And he'll learn. If he's a great coach like we think he's going to be, he'll learn from that mistake. And hopefully, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, he doesn't make that mistake again and you don't overlook another team ever again in the NFL.
One stat that would always say like how a team has been is by point differential. The team, do you want to take a guess who leads the NFL in point differential?
Ravens?
No.
No. Detroit?
No. It is the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, that makes
They're
sense.
They're plus 47 and plus and run in point differential. Now, again, they just blew out Miami and then had a big win against Tennessee. The Chargers are plus 20 in point differential. Bills plus 31. Colts plus 47. Cincinnati, who is the fourth team right now after 3 weeks, obviously, because they're 2-1. They are negative 33.
I was going to say, where could they possibly be? They lost 45 right. nothing yesterday.
Pittsburgh is another one that's I guess the first team that's out in the wild, or I guess the first team that's in the wild card. I'm just going on point differential where they rank standing wise. Pittsburgh minus 5 in point differential. Jacksonville plus 19. Baltimore plus 23. Kansas City sits at plus 4 in point differential when it comes to their dominance, if you want to call it
Keep
that.
Staying
or lack
on the
of.
Plus side, you know.
That's where you want to stay at. NFC is just absolutely bananas. I don't know who the best team is. I would say it's a toss-up between Buffalo and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow. Yeah, you're in on the Chargers.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I be? They swept their division in 3 games. They are pretty solid on defense, and it looks like Justin Herbert has taken a leadership role to another step. I'm not saying that he is prime elite quarterback, but he has taken that leadership step another step further, and the Harbaugh message is clearly effective, and it's working.
It's working. No, there's no doubt. Those two got a really good relationship right now going on. Let's see how, you know, sustainable it will be throughout the course of the season. But if we're sitting here right now, yeah, Chargers are in the conversation for best team in this league. Buffalo's in the conversation for best team in this league. You know, the Saints, the Giants, the Jets, they're not in the conversation. I think combined, they're 0-9. So those three teams are out of the mix, out of the conversation. But the fact that we're having a couple of conversations about who the best team is, I mean, it'll be interesting to see after the first quarter of the season's over next week, kind of where we stand as we continue to move forward.
Where we do stand is not fully eliminated yet. Josh Vernier joins the show next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friends over at QC Kinetics